You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Encouraging One Another Ministries. And now, here is your host, Tom Jones.
The Lord reigns, let the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands. Angels shout, the redeemed have come to dance. To celebrate, to celebrate, He reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing and shout.
Yes, good morning, saints of God. This is Tom, and it is time to wake up, me included, Art. I've got a very special guest on with me today, and I'll give him an opportunity to share his heart, what God's doing for both he and his wife and family. But coming to you live, I've been off for quite some time, and I've had surgery, which has been a very difficult road for me. I've learned that I need to trust the Lord more. That's if, Art. If anything, I'll introduce you in just a minute, Art. But if I've learned anything, it's I'm not trusting him enough. You know, the scripture I have for us today is peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And that can be found in John chapter 14, verse 27. Not as the world gives, but he said, I give unto you. So, you know, if we don't stay focused, what happens? You know, Art, I don't know what happens if we don't stay focused. I'm not sure. I'm learning to come out of all of this and learning to walk again. It's different. But he is there. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. I'm going to play a song just for a few minutes, and then I'm going to introduce my guest today. Very, very fine gentleman. I've known him for years, both he and his wife. Lovely, lovely people. I'm going to play this song, Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. That's what I'm telling myself. Let my heart beat again for him. That's what I'm telling myself. Let Lord jumpstart my heart. Let me not hear the naysayers when they come to me and tell me this and this. I'm reminded, Art, Danny, when in the book of Exodus, it tells us when the children of Israel left Egypt, you know, and they were out in the wilderness, one of the things they made a comment is the Lord with us or not? Is the Lord with us or not? You know, how in the world can they make such a comment? And then they made a comment that there's not enough places to bury him in Egypt. So the Lord brought him out in the wilderness to bury him and to die. And that wasn't God's intention. And then they got to the point where God provided manna, God provided quail, God parted the Red Sea. And then they still tested Moses. And then they still tested him. And God told even Moses, you know, your people are stiff-necked. They're stiff-necked. How in the world can you cross a sea that God has parted and doubt God? How, Art? How, Danny? How in the world can you stand in the midst of an Egyptian army after you, and yet God in front of you parts the Red Sea so you can go through it? And how dare we even question God? How dare I even question God what I'm going through? And no matter what you're going through, you need to understand in your heart, your spirit, your mind, and your soul that it is well with my soul. It is well that God said, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. It's time that we wake up, myself included, that we hear the essence of his heartbeat, which beats people, people, people. That's what his heart beats, is people. He went to that cross to shed his precious blood that you, I, might have life, and life more abundantly, you know? And you're where you are because of Jesus. And don't listen to the dream killers. That's the problem, I believe, that they had. They chattered too much in the wilderness. They chattered and came against Moses, came against God. And are you doing that today? Are you chattering? Well, where is God? Is God with us or not? Yes, he is. Maybe you've left him and he hasn't left you. Maybe you've left him. And it is time to come back to him as our Lord and Savior. It's time for our nation. It's time for the Capitol. It's time for the White House. It's time for all these people, men and women in Congress, the senators, the president, to wake up. All of us, to hear the essence of what's important in this life. And only then will we hear and understand what to do for him. And pass legislation that needs to be passed. And I'm not getting political here, Danny. I'm not getting political. But it is time we as a nation wake up. We must wake up. We've got to wake up because we're missing the target. As the children of Israel were in Egypt, they missed it. They were missing it. How in the world can you watch a sea part and go through it, and then God swallows up the Egyptian army and turn back and say they didn't get us. They all drowned. You know how they were fed manna and quail every single day. How they didn't even have a CVS pharmacy to go to. They didn't have a Medfast to go to. I mean, read the scriptures in Exodus. Their shoes didn't even wear out. I wear my clothes for a month and they're worn out. Those people were in the wilderness for years and their clothes never even wore. They didn't wear out. And the word says there was not one feeble one among them. Not one. You know, millions of people and you don't even have one feeble one among them. And where did they check out and go to Medfast in the hospital? There wasn't. God provided. And so will God provide for you. So I want to trust in the Lord. What his scriptures tell us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. And what did he say? He shall direct your path. And I think I've been missing it, Art. I think so. My guest speaker here, before I keep rattling on so much, I'm probably putting people to sleep. But anyway, my special guest today is Art McPherson. Art, thank you. I'm honored and humbled to have you on with me. I'd like you to share your heart, what the Lord's doing with you, your company, what the Lord's doing in your life. Just share as the Lord leads you.
Well, Tom, first thing I want to ask you is, you play a song that talks about being broken, shattered on the floor, and where in the world does this energy come from? Because you were just sharing through music that you were going through a very tough time. But at the same time, you come on the radio and have an energy that is unbelievable. Let me ask you one question. Why do you think God had you have me on the show?
I you love God. You know, when the first day I met you years ago, you run a very successful company, Art, but you have a genuine love for Jesus, and I'm attracted to that. I'm attracted to people who genuinely love the Lord. I know one time what I'm going through, the Lord said brokenness is occurring, and I don't understand this. He said, because there are cracks upon the wall, if you will, Tom. He said, through those cracks, I can come in and place my will to be done, not yours. So sometimes we go through things, all right? And it's for a reason. It's for a reason. And I don't understand this season. I don't understand it.
Well, I've been through broken times in my life, too. And I can tell you, when I'm going through the valley, and they can be very painful, the most hurtful comments I ever got were from brothers and sisters in Christ and my family.
That shouldn't be.
I'm just telling you what it was. The people that are closest to us obviously have the most impact on us, right? Because they are our family. They are our ministry, so to speak. They're our support group. But if we're not being used by God and we're just using our mental wisdom, our earthly wisdom, we can be used by the enemy to deter people. I mean, we talked about it, you know, last couple of weeks. As you've been going through surgery and recovery, and you've been in tremendous pain, and I've been praying for you. My wife has been praying for you, and we've been lifting you up. Yeah. But I knew this is a hard walk for you. And I just was reminded of the scripture where Job is literally scraping himself in ashes in tremendous pain. Mm-hmm. He lost his whole family. Yep. He lost his wife. Except his wife. He lost all his children. And his best friends are there ridiculing him, telling him literally, curse God and die. Why do you try to hold on to your integrity? That was totally ungodly, totally against God's will. God reprimands them at the end of that. But they were being used by Satan, actually, as instruments of wickedness to try to discourage Job, because Satan had a heavenly argument with God saying, have you not considered my servant Job, is what the Lord said to Satan.
Yes.
And Satan said, oh, you put a hedge of protection around him. You've guarded his business. You've guarded his family. You've blessed him. Of course he serves you. But that wasn't true. Job was being blessed by God because he was operating in scriptural principles. He was protected because the Bible says we will be protected if we walk in his covering. That wasn't something unusual.
Very good.
That was God's anointing.
Yes.
God's blessing. Because he was walking in God's way. Matter of fact, Job was such a man of God. According to the word of God, he would pray for his children each day, do sacrifices each day, that when the kids got together, which is what we want, right? We want our kids getting together, having a good time, celebrating. In case they sinned, he was having atonement for them, just in case. He didn't even know. He didn't hear about it from his servants or anything. He just did it in case of. I mean, that's a godly man. He's trying the best that he can to walk in faith with the Lord. But everything in our life, everything comes against us. And if we're living for God, we're going to be attacked. We just are.
Yep.
One thing I think has been a big problem with the church of recent, we have a form of godliness, but deny its power.
Yep.
Why? Because we're being religious. We're being pharisaical. Mm-hmm. We're not living the way he wants us to. We're trying to appear a certain way because we feel like that's what we're supposed to do. But sometimes, like God just told you, you just shared this live on air. Through the brokenness, he's going to create a new thing. For Tom. I can tell you right now, Tom, when I got married the second time and I met Julie, we had been married for only about 6 months. And I told her, I was never married before. I said, I had maybe a roommate, but we weren't really married. We weren't a team. And she asked me many times, would you go through what you went through again? I said, 100%. I said, I would have never been the man of God I am today without the failures that I went through, because it created depth and clarity in my walk with God that I would never give up, ever. So I'm just blessed by you. Let me just tell you why I'm blessed by Tom Jones. You have given me words of encouragement. You have actually given me words of encouragement the last 2 weeks.
But isn't that what we're supposed to do, Art?
I know, but when you're at the bottom, Tom, right now. You have been broken.
But Art, but it says in Hebrews 3:13, it tells us, all of us, to encourage one another daily. Why aren't we doing it, Art?
Because we are caught up in our own issues. Until we can get past our own problems and we stop focusing on ourselves, right? We're selfish people. It's human nature. I can't minister to you if I don't have anything to give. So one of the things that I used to do when I had more time is I was on the worship team. I was on the praise team with church. But there came a time where I couldn't spend that extra. I was spending 20 to 30 hours a week just in ministry. But my wife asked, she said, can I have you home? Can you be my husband a little bit? So sometimes doing even God's work or the ministry, if it's not his timing or it's not really the place you're supposed to be, it can be a good thing, but not necessarily the best thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to be careful of that, even ministry itself.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I hear pastors share that a lot. But one of the things that I've been studying recently is David, because I feel a man after God's own heart. Mm-hmm. I want to be a man after God's own heart. I want to be that guy, right? I want to be a David. But David had triumphs, but he had really bad situations too. You know, he had great sin too, you know, with Bathsheba, her husband, putting her husband at the front line to have him killed so he could marry her. Why? To cover the fact that he got her pregnant. Because Uriah the Hittite wouldn't go in there and sleep with his wife while all the guys are at war. But to me, I don't know, Tom. It's just we get self-absorbed. I remember when I was at my bottom, you're kind of there right now being broken through your trial, your physical pain that you're going through right now. God does create a new thing. He creates victory through the brokenness, I would say. And I think there's one thing that God wants to do in our current world is to break this church pharisaical system. We've gotten very much like the whitewashed walls that the high priest that Jesus looked at and said, you're a whitewashed wall. That's pretty stern. Mm-hmm. I would rather be a fisherman, thank you very much. Why did God not choose Pharisees? Why didn't Jesus, when he came to earth, go pick the 12 highest leaders in Israel? He didn't do that. Were they religious men? Did they know the word of God? Did they know the Torah? 100%. He picked fishermen, tax collectors, real people, right? So we're two people right now. You're a business owner. I'm a business owner. We're not Pharisees. We're not in the ministry. But yet you're on Christian radio. God has given you a ministry. And you're taking that opportunity.
But going back to what you were saying about the religious people, one of the problems that I see is we have the word in the head. And not, we need to get it to the heart. One of the things religious people and pharisaical people are, is they don't have the heart. They don't have the availability. God doesn't look for ability, Art. That's what I've discovered. When I went to the mission field to work with a doctor years ago, I had no idea what I was going to be doing, working with Dr. Patrick, building orphan homes around the world. And people said, you're foolish in your military career. But what God looks for, like the disciples, drop your net and follow me. And those boys dropped their net, Art. They dropped the net, and they followed him. They had availability. Did they have the ability? They might have. Some of them might have. But God, that's what God looks for, is that heart. Is it willing to do something for Jesus? And yet the scriptures tell us the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. And I think that we need to get the word from the head and let it get to the heart, because if it gets to the heart, then you'll be doing things that Jesus told you to do. I think we're all called, Art. And then going back to your wife, lovely, lovely. The word tells us, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. So, Art, you found a good thing with Julie. Absolutely lovely.
Yeah, she makes me better with her than I was by myself.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's a God thing, right? When you two as a combined couple are stronger than you were individually, you know it's a good thing.
Yes.
You know it's a God thing.
Yes.
But I prayed a long time for her. I prayed about 8 years as a single dad for her, and there was two things I needed her to be. I needed her to be a strong woman. I needed her to be a godly woman, but I also needed her to be a great mom to my kids. So I was a single dad with two kids living with me, full custody of those children, with all the responsibilities that entails of that. And I didn't know how to be a woman. I was a man, 100% man. I am not a guy that is got any kind of woman side to him at all. I'm 100% dad. In the neighborhood, they called me the skateboard dad. I was out there playing with my kids. So I don't have that intuition. I don't have those things that women have. I mean, my kids can get sick, especially when they were younger. Julie would be like, something's wrong with Rachel. Something's wrong with Christian today. And she was dead on. It might take us 24 hours to know what exactly took place or happened. She was dead. She just instinctively knew. I was clueless. I had no idea anything was going on. But she had that ability. And those kids did not even come out of her body, but she was able to do that. So, I mean, I think the Holy Spirit's the same way. You're being open and honest with God right now as you're going through a very tough time in your life. And he's speaking to you. And he said he's going to make you better on the other side of it. He says he's going to use the cracks. Like, you shared a song that said, I feel like glass broken on the floor, shattered in pieces. That's not a strength thing, right? You're saying, oh, but I'm going to pick myself up. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to move forward with God. God, give me the strength, because you don't have it. When I went through my trials, I would explain it to people. I had to go through counseling and things like that to help me out. But I said, I felt like a rubber band stretched to the max. And then it was trying to pull more. I had no more to give. I didn't have it in me to do. Mm-hmm. I remember they wanted me to sing on the worship team. And I told them, I said, I don't have it in me to give right now. It's not there. I can't. I just need to be a sponge right now. I need to sit here. I need to listen to the pastor. Yeah. I need to listen to the worship. I need to be re-strengthened. It wasn't my season. Now later, 2 or 3 years after that, I was singing in praise and worship again. But I did not have the ability at that time. It wasn't that season. So there are times like that. But there's a lot of people, I think, listening to this show that need the same thing you're going through. I think there's people today listening that are being broken.
Yeah.
Whether it's...
I agree.
Drugs, alcohol, addiction.
Yeah.
I mean, your story when you grew up was tough. You were an orphan, right?
Yes.
That's not an easy story. You have, you know, bouncing around and all the different things that happened there. I didn't have that story. I had a Christian family, brought up in a Christian household. So I didn't have that struggle, right? I did not have the Tom Jones story there. However, I walked through my own things. I walked through my own battles, and I walked through my own. But I think we just need to be real with God. I think we just have to be
amen.
Like, we just have to tell him when we're hurting.
Yeah.
And be like, God, I remember, I'll tell you this. This is how bad I was. I remember going to the Christian bookstore. I was searching for something to give me hope. I was searching for something to give me some peace. I felt like God had abandoned me. I felt like my family had abandoned me. And I was just broken, 100% broken. And I was like, I looked up and it was the Christian store. And it was, they had Bibles and music and all kinds of help books. And I was trying to find a help book. And I saw the sand picture where, you know, you're walking and Jesus is carrying you. And I just remembered looking at it, and at the time I remember going, God, that's a lie. Where are you? I don't feel you. You're not carrying me right now. That's how I felt. It wasn't true, but that's how I felt. I was just that broken and that devastated. Mm-hmm. I just felt like there was no, you know, I had done everything he asked me to do. I had done the biblical, you know, I didn't have sex until I got married. I was a 210-pound virgin when I came out of college. I didn't have a drip of alcohol, you know, all through college and going through all the parties. I was on the water ski team. You want to talk about a culture? There's a lot of marijuana in the water ski culture and the surf culture. I was a surfer and a water skier. Never touched marijuana. Never had a drop of alcohol. But my life was just at the bottom. You know, I just felt so broken, but God started to restore. He started to renew, and he started to rebuild the man I was. Because before I went through that, I could never relate with somebody that had gone through divorce. I could try, but until you know the pain, until you know the heartbreak, you can't really relate. Yeah. It's not real, and people will know. It's either real in you or it's not. You cannot fake the funk.
That's true.
Nor does God want us to. God does not. That's where we start becoming a Pharisee. That's where we start becoming the whitewashed wall, like the chief priest was. Jesus literally said that to the chief priest. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. The leader of the whole Jewish faith. Here is the Messiah. He couldn't even recognize it. Matter of fact, I'll give you a personal testimony. So I'm on the praise and worship team. I'm a leader, but I'm not the leader, right? The pastor's the leader. So I am under the leadership of the pastor. But oh boy, there is the Holy Spirit starts bubbling in me and he's telling me to talk. I don't know what I'm supposed to talk about, but he's like, you need to speak. And I'm like sitting there, I can't speak. There's no time to speak. I can't do this. But you know, I mean, we have about 850 people in service. And I'm like, I can't do this. This is not, and I'm just battling, right? I'm internally battling with the Holy Spirit. You have to speak. I'm like, all right, finally. So there's a smidge of a break. I speak. The whole leadership of the church, all the elders of the church afterwards, because it was at the end of the service, come up to me and just were like, that was amazing. I can't even remember what I said, really, but, and they're like giving me confirmation. But as we walk off the stage, church is over, the pastor pulls me aside and says, don't ever do that again because you brought this the congregation in a different direction than I wanted them to go. The thing that made me sad is he didn't get it. I was not speaking on my own. I was doing everything in my power not to say a word. That was totally a God thing. But he was so worried. I don't know if it was a control thing or exactly what it was, but he missed the God thing. And he tried. And because he's the leader, from that point on, God never did that again because I have to submit to his leadership. But he quenched the Holy Spirit. A godly man, fantastic minister. I saw thousands of people get saved through his ministry.
My goodness.
But for whatever reason, that day, he missed it. I don't know why. But there was a reason I had to say what I had to say. God told me I did exactly what God wanted me to do. I did it. And weren't you sharing with me just the other day that God told you to say a word of encouragement to somebody and you didn't do it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what? Tell me about that story.
That was in Oklahoma, I believe, that story. I saw a gentleman a couple weeks. I was in Lawton, Oklahoma. Went to Assembly of God Church, and I went up to, I saw this fella, and I knew something was wrong. I knew something in my heart was wrong. And I said, Lord, he doesn't know me, and I can't do it. 2 weeks later, I was getting ready to leave. I saw him again in church, and I went up to him, and I said, I got to apologize to you. He said, for what? And I said, well, I had a word of encouragement for you 2 weeks ago, and I was afraid to give it to you because you don't know me. And the Lord told me he doesn't need to know you. He knows me. And so he said, what was the words of encouragement? And I shared it with him, and he's tears streaming down that man's face. He said, where were you 2 weeks ago? Where were you 2 weeks ago, son? I needed that 2 weeks ago. See, the anointing was then to do it, and I didn't. He said, I needed that 2 weeks ago. Why didn't you share that? And you know, my desire is to not miss the mark, Art. You brought up Job.
Yep.
Job. I think I'm missing some chapters in Job. The kids in Korea took some of my Bible apart. And so I don't have it where I could show you that scripture. After Job went through that horrific trial, Art, you know one of the things he said? And that was so, I mean, it stood out to me when I read another Bible. My wife got me another Bible that's not missing chapters and prophets and stuff, and I like my old Bible, but Job said after he went through that testing, he said, I thought I knew God. He said, now I know him.
And he was blessed with everything back.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
More, right? Like,
yes.
I think it was like sevenfold.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. God restored it.
And I guarantee you, if you ask Job, the same thing. Would you go through it again? Would you lose, you know, the heartache that that man had to go through? And he had to go through something I didn't have to go through, which was sitting with sores all over my body and scraping myself with shells to let the pus run out.
Oof,
I mean, you're going through a lot physically right now, but can you imagine?
Yeah.
And then at the time you're doing that, to be berated by your best friends and loved ones.
Yeah.
He was berated by his wife too. She said, curse God and die. And Job's like, I didn't do anything wrong. They all thought he did something wrong. Yeah. They all thought he sinned. They all thought he had harbored something in his heart against God. They thought he was walking out of God's will. They thought he had done something egregious, right? Or egregious. Mm-hmm. And he was not telling them what he did. And he was just being contempted or whatever. But he wasn't doing that. He was just walking through faithfulness in the middle of brokenness. And I love that story. Because when you go through brokenness, and I know there's people going through it today, there is light at the other side. But I couldn't see it, Tom. I could not see light. When I was at my walking into that Christian bookstore, and I looked at that, I saw no light. There was no hope at that time. I didn't see it. So I had to walk in faith that there would be a time where I would see light. Because I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I definitely didn't feel his protection. I felt totally like Job. I felt like I was totally abandoned. For some reason, I didn't know what I had done. My life was falling apart, being destroyed, not by my doing. I didn't do anything, but it was being destroyed, and I didn't understand, and I didn't know why, and I didn't have an answer at that time, and it was a dark time. And I just remember family, friends, that's why I relate with Job so much, were so painful at that time. They were not there to carry me.
Yeah.
It was only God.
I'm sorry, Art. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Art.
No, that's fine.
Go ahead, finish. I didn't want to interrupt you.
I am done.
But that's why I really feel the church in America, you know, what's happened, and I'm not being critical to the churches, and I thank God for.
I think you need to be critical of the churches. The churches are out of God's will.
You know, but we're missing the heartbeat of Jesus. What's important is not big buildings and $40 million buildings. And I'm not against buildings, Art. I'm not. We need them.
The church has become Pharisaical. You either are Baptist or Presbyterian. What is Baptist? It's man's interpretation of God's word, right? So we created a doctrine, even if it's 90% right, it's 10% wrong. And then you have Presbyterian, then you have Methodist, then you have Lutheran. Is that in the Bible?
Mm-mm.
No, we're children of God.
Yeah.
We have one leader. It's not Presbyterian.
Yeah.
It's not Methodist. It's not Baptist.
No, you're so
it's not interdenominational. It's the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Who is the body of Christ? Tom Jones, Art McPherson, guys that don't have a ministry, that are working for a living. We're the tent makers. We're the fishermen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? God's church resides with us.
Yeah, it's just a remnant anymore, I see. It's just a remnant of God's people now.
That's a strong word.
It's just a remnant I see out there. And you know, I you're a financial advisor.
Yep.
Years ago, I don't know if you remember Larry Burkett.
Yep.
I loved listening to Larry Burkett. Unfortunately, I didn't listen to a lot of things he said that I should do, Art, as you probably well know. I won't go there. But anyway, he said something, Art, that, and I was on the radio back then. I was on Saturdays for 2 hours. And Lord bless the people who listen to me for 2 hours. But anyway, he said something that shook me to the core. He said, and this was back before his death. He passed away, I think, 2000. I can't remember, but he shared this sermon about a year before he passed away. He said he's troubled. He's very troubled, and it caught my attention. And I slammed on my brakes. I said, and I was driving, and I said, Lord, what did he just say? And he said the generals that, and I know there are a lot of God's people, you know, that give, but he said the generals of the people that were excited for the Father, that were getting missionaries out, they're supporting their churches and tithing and giving and helping widows and orphans. He said, he said, if this trend continues of giving, which has dropped, he said, it will take 20, by the, I think it was 2010, he passed away prior to then, but he said, by the year 2010, it will take 20 Christians to give what the one Christian gave.
Wow.
And I thought, well, that can't be possible. That just cannot be possible. I just think it's a wake-up call that God is waking our nation up. God is waking us as an individual, as a people. Wake up. And whatever he tells you, just... I tell you what, Art. You know, I'm parts of a few ministries, not bragging. You know, and I'm bragging. But if we don't do it, you know, I was challenged the other day with someone telling me, well, you know, you should be more worried about your saving for your retirement, and I'm, you know, and not spending on the radio. And I was crushed because I'm listener supported, Art, and I thought about that, and I went home and I said, you know, my wife said, well, you're ministering to the community, you know, but if you minister that one person, you know, I have a gentleman that's...
Yeah, but are you called to do this?
Yes, sorry.
Then don't worry about it.
Yes, I am.
He will provide.
And I'm not here.
And don't listen, but see, that's the point. That's my point. When you're broken, and we know you're going through an extremely tough time right now, you were hurt by that, and it's from someone that's close to you.
You know, and you know, listen here. I tried to share with this person. I'm not on the radio or to make a name. I've been on Christian TV for years, and I got tired of it. I literally got tired of Christian TV. I'd go to Orlando.
I can tell you why you're on the radio. Because you said yes.
And
you said yes.
And not trying to make a name. There's only one name, Mark, that needs to be known, and that's Jesus. That's not my name. That's why I changed the ministry, because Billy Graham one time said, if my name, Billy Graham said this, if my name is mentioned one time, it's mentioned one time too many. And for years, I've wanted to change the name. And finally, the Lord put it in my spirit. One of my favorite second scriptures is besides John 3:16, is Hebrews 3:13, that we are to encourage one another daily, not to tear one another down, not to backbite, not to gossip. You know, and I see so much of that, you know. Well, you're not qualified. You're a ditch digger. You know, I had a pastor call me in. He saw me on Christian TV. He said, who are you? And the pastor from Melbourne is still loving. And he said, but God can't use you. You're a ditch digger. And I said, well, you know, God can use anyone, Pastor. Don't ever tell anyone that God can't use them. You know, I think we get so secure, Art, in where we are and become territorial, where this is my territory. Don't come on it. You know, and if you do, don't say anything. And I understand that, you know, we have to, the Bible said, do all things in decency and order. I understand that. You know, I understand that. But I think sometimes people in ministry positions, that they get so threatened, you know.
Well, there, you realize what happens to you, right? When you're doing God's work and you're doing his calling, you're always being attacked. So they kind of get callous.
Mm.
It's human nature, right? We get callous because we have been attacked. And it's from people we love that hurts. That's the ones that still get through the callous. The world can't get through the callous anymore. Other ministries can't get through the callous anymore. We've built that up. We've protected ourselves. Yeah. We know what to expect. But those that are close to us still have that doorway in that can cause a lot of pain, cause a lot of confusion, make you doubt yourself, make you doubt your ministry. Those are tough things. Those are real things, though. Those are tough. What I think God is doing right now is he's doing a shaking.
Yeah.
So what I see him doing is the church has gotten very comfortable.
Yeah, we have.
We have gotten to where we are a social club. That's it. Most pastors today that are in the congregation that are called to be there, they're called to be a pastor, are afraid to bring up scriptural truths like a man's a man and a woman is a woman, and do not lie with a man as you would with a woman. That's scriptural. There's no doubting it. Whether you like it or not, you can say whatever you want about it. But if our culture shifts so much that that becomes such a radical statement to say a man is a man and a woman is a woman, oh, well, that's what the Bible says, right? You cannot be a pastor and not be willing to say God's word. If you are, you're in trouble. because you are held to a higher standard. So I think what God is going to do, he's going to shake some foundations. We're going to see some things shaken hard. We're going to see people maybe in sin get in trouble, right? Because he needs a righteousness. But there's a radical part that God wants to do. There's millions of people in this country right now today that need God, that want God.
Oh, boy, absolutely.
There's billions of people across this world that he wants to save.
Yeah.
And before the enemy comes in the end times, I know he wants to save a billion souls.
Yeah,
that's God's calling. That's what he wants to do.
And I think that's what we're not doing. I think we're keeping Jesus in our life, which is good, but we're not letting him out. We're not telling people. We're not telling the sinner. We're not telling. We need to have some holy boldness, all right? And we need to take Jesus out of the church into our streets, into our workplace, and be that light that Jesus called us to be, and to be that blessing. You know, again, God's not looking. And if you don't know how to speak, well, Moses didn't know how to speak either, but God said, open your mouth, Moses, and I'll fill it. Sometimes they just want you to open your mouth, and he'll fill it. And are we afraid? What's happened to us as a church? I mean, I went to church and wanted to start a prayer group just for, you know, because of the presidential. And they said, oh, Brother Tom, calm down. and one person called me and said, well, this gentleman running, he's a Christian. I said, no, he's not. I said, just because the mouse is in the cookie jar, don't make him a cookie. You know, and I got clobbered.
There's no fruit, right?
No. And so, you know, the main thing, Dr. J. Burnham McGee would always say this, the main thing when I was in the mission field, I heard him say, the main thing is Jesus. That is the main thing. Who do we call on? The only one we can call on that I'm calling on is Jesus. And he's told me, you got to let it out. You got to let him out and share Christ more with people. Well, and that's what it's about.
I was reading this morning. I was reading about David. I told you I'm studying right now about David. When he was anointed king by Saul, he was preteen.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
When he killed Goliath, he was still just a shepherd. He had no authority or power of any kind. He was the bottom of the list of his brothers, smallest of all his brothers.
Good point.
Right? He wasn't. But he had been anointed king. He had been promised. He was prophesied. You will be king over Israel. But he didn't become king until he was 30. So he kills Goliath at 18. 12 years later, he finally becomes king. But the king of that time, who David always referred to as God's anointed, tried to kill him many times, would go on war campaigns that David had to go hide in caves.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual king who had been given the kingship by God, Saul, was going against the next king that God had raised up. Woe to us if we become like Saul.
Oof.
We've been called by God to be in a position. We get so arrogant,
yeah,
or so worldly, I don't know, that we can no longer hear God, that we're actually being used by the enemy and going against his anointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whoa. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
However, encouragement for you, it took 12 years for him to become king. There's promises God has given you as you're going through this right now. He's going to do a new thing for you. He's going to do some new powerful things for Tom Jones. And you're going to, on the other side, be a better man for it. But right now, it doesn't feel like it, I'm sure. But that I would encourage you with that. Can I give you an encouragement of what a blessing you've been to me? So one of the things that was, you just are doing my lawn, right? Your company is landscaping for me. But you get a word from the Lord to tell me, and you're hesitant. You're like, Lord, I don't know Art well enough to tell him anything like this. And he told you almost what he told the guy back in the other state. It doesn't matter. Art knows me. You gave me that word. It was a huge blessing for me. I was going through some tough times at the time. And I still hold on to it to this day, because I know it was from God. And you shared it from your heart. But it was prophetic. You're like, so you have a little bit of a gifting there on the prophetic side. But just so you know, I mean, you have a tremendous ministry. You're a tremendous blessing, and you have been used by God to change my life in a positive direction. So you have a unique ministry there. What I think God wants to do with the church is the same thing. We were told, and I've grown up under this, the last 30 years, don't talk about religion. I mean, don't talk about Christianity in church. Don't talk about politics in church and mix it with Christianity, right? Separation of church and state, church and state. That was a lie.
Yeah.
That was a complete lie. Yeah. Because as soon as we removed God out of the government, Satan flooded in.
Yeah.
And we've got all these problems today because we took God out.
Yeah.
The whole thing with separation of church and state was so our government would not have a mandate of what religion we would have to worship under. We left England for that and started America because of that. We wanted freedom. We better be paying attention to politics, people.
Absolutely.
Did God anoint a king? Yeah. Israel asked for one. He told him you shouldn't want one, but I'll give you one. First one was Saul. He cared about that very much. And he also cared very much about David, and on and on and on. There's biblical, historical reference of the line of the kings. Mm-hmm. And he even talks about not kings, but like in other areas, like princes. And he talks about chiefs, and he talks about all kinds of different things. So if you go through the lineage in some of the Bible, what are chiefs? Well, those are Native Americans, right? We had chiefs. So he talks about everything there, and he puts those people in power. So praying for our president, a very important thing.
Absolutely.
Making sure our president is called by God, a very important thing. Every senator, every congressman, every person in government should be a godly person. If they're not, they can be used by the enemy. Period. End of story. And that's what God wants to do. Because if God wants to save a billion souls, America is the nation right now that we are the voice of the world, the freedom of the world. Where does freedom come from? Freedom comes from God.
Absolutely.
The word of God is freedom.
Yep.
Satan always comes in and promises freedom. He says, hey, if you do this, you don't have to, you know, be holy. You can go out and have sex with anybody you want. Don't worry about it. But what he doesn't tell you is there's a price. Every time you have sex with somebody else, you have a soul tie. You actually go out there and connect yourself with whoever that person has been with before you, on and on and on. And you actually have generational curses that can come upon you by going out there and being promiscuous. Does Satan ever tell you that? No. What does God do? He says, don't do that. I want to protect you. I want to cover you. But he gives us the freedom to make the choice. But there comes a heavy price. If we don't listen to God, there's always a heavy price.
Yeah.
It's guised from the enemy as glorious, as lovely, as beautiful. It's wrapped wonderfully. But why is there always so much guilt? Why is there almost so much chains that come with it? Because it's not God's perfect will for us. But we get so tied into that. We really do. It's just amazing to me how Satan is so good at being deceptive. And he's done that. He's done that with America. He has told us we are not allowed to have an opinion on politics if you're a Christian. Lie.
Absolutely.
100% lie.
Yep.
100% lie. And that needs to be destroyed. Every preacher that is in the pulpit should talk about politics. He should be unashamed. Unashamed. And if they take your church away from you, who cares? Then God might give you another ministry that's way better, like Tom Jones sitting on the radio talking to people, and you could have a huge reach, and then you could become syndicated and have a global reach. You never know, right? So God knows. We don't know.
You're absolutely right. One of the things, David, I admire about David is if you look at the giant that he was up against.
Goliath.
He didn't care.
Mm-mm.
He didn't care about the bigness of Goliath, the strength that Goliath might have had, but he looked to the strength of his God, and that's who he looked at.
He didn't even waver.
No.
Like, he walked up to the battle lines. He's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Yeah.
To defy the armies of the living God.
Yep.
That was the first thing out of his mouth. And his brothers are like, shut up, David. What are you doing? You're here just to be whatever. You know, they were just looking at him like their brother and like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And they were looking at the, how he's 9 foot plus tall and how strong he was and all that other stuff. And but he was mocking God. He was mocking the Israelites. He was making fun of them. And that's what David heard. He heard the mocking. He heard the betrayal of who they were supposed to stand for. Why? Because he would talk to God when he was in the field, when he's hunting and he was protecting the sheep. He said, a lion comes up, I defend the sheep against the lion. I've actually taken a sheep out of a lion's mouth. God helped me do that. He didn't say he did it. He said God helped him do that.
Yeah.
He said, I know God will help me defeat this guy. He had no question. But I exactly. So that's why I'm studying David. I want to be a man like that.
Me too.
I want to be a man with that kind of courage, that kind of faith, unwavering confidence in what God says for my life, what God says for my strength, you know, even when I don't have it. Like right now, you don't have it.
No,
you're broken.
I really have, to be honest with you, feel defeated, you know, that I don't have the strength anymore. I know that God's restoring it, and the ministry's going through a little bit of some issues here, but nothing bad. Just, you know, I don't want to go into it. But, you know, because I changed the name and all that. But God's faithful heart, as we all know. He said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. And we serve a big God. But I also know too much. And I think the body of Christ doesn't quite understand this. For Larry Burkett to make that comment that it takes 20 Christians, and that was 2010. Now we're in 2025. And why should we give anymore? Because too much is given. He said, much is required of us. And so I'm trying to do that. And I did.
Yeah, but we look at it like a social club now.
Yeah,
apparently. We do. I mean, come on. You go to church and they don't want to offend you. Right? They don't want to upset you. So you're going to go there and you're going to hear something like really kind of light and nothing real heavy. Nothing to challenge you. There's not going to be anything that says, stop sinning, change your life, let's go, let's get real with God, let's get a real walk with the Lord. Mm. Few churches are doing that, but not a lot.
Yeah, now the church I go to, wow. I'm telling you, Art, we got a few minutes left, but I've shared this one time, that you work, you deal with people all the time.
Just a layperson, yep.
And I don't know about anyone else, but for six days I'm exhausted, especially when I'm going through. I just went back to work for the first time yesterday. I'm exhausted, and going to church, the church I go to, Calvary, Pastor Malcolm Wild,
you love Malcolm,
it is refreshing. I get there, the praise and worship is like, oh, this is, and I raise my hands, you know, my orphan kids told me, the little orphan kids have my hands going up in the air. What's this about?
That's all right. You won't offend anybody in Calvary Chapel doing that.
So, and it is so refreshing to go and hear the praise worship and then be taught the word of God. I mean, you know, it's refreshing, Art. It's refreshing. And we got 1 minute, Art. We got what's on your heart to share the last minute?
I think I've been sharing my heart the whole time. I just, it's fun to me to be with a brother in Christ. You live your life at the way I think a Christian should. You walk your faith daily. You take opportunities when God presents them. You do not shy away from the opportunity.
Sometimes I can get like Jonah and run the other way, Art.
Well, I haven't seen that.
I have. I do.
Yeah, I know. You gave me that story, and I that's why I asked you to share it. But for the most part, you are walking that I think when you get to heaven, it'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yeah.
Well done.
I hope so.
And that's all I want to hear.
Me too. Me too. Danny, got a few minutes left? I just pray that 5 seconds. Well, God bless you. Until next week, this is Tom. I pray the best is yet to come. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Encouraging One Another Ministries, the radio broadcast brought to you by Tom Jones Ministries. Be with us next Thursday at the same time for Encouraging One Another broadcast.